Welcome, everybody, to Capes and Scowls
West.
2019 San Diego Comic-Con special.
Yay.
So San Diego Comic-Con happened last weekend, and... Oh, I should introduce us, huh? I forgot that. my name is Nat, and with me, as always...
is Pat.
I'm Cat in Hat.
Yay.
San Diego Comic-Con just happened this past weekend, and we have taken some time to digest what we've seen and heard, and... we're just going to discuss some things. First and foremost, Young Justice is coming back for season 4.
What?
A little soft announcement there.
Yeah.
Young Justice Outsiders is not even finished yet. And
I can't say I've watched it.
Well,
I'm busy.
I can say that is a mistake on your part.
My wife and I, we've been watching the new season, but we were a little bit behind.
Mm.
And yesterday we went to check out the next episode and realized that they were not releasing them in triplicate the way they were for the first part. So I was like, oh, we're caught up now.
Yeah. So. Don't spoil anything. I haven't seen the latest episode.
Yeah, okay, cool.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't seen any of it, so...
You saw the beginning part when we were, like, the first season, before Doom Patrol.
Oh, yeah, I saw the first season, or the first half of the season. I haven't seen the second half.
Okay,
cool. I'm gonna say, second half not as strong for me right now, but there's some other things going on.
It's a build-up like it was in the beginning, and it's like a breath of fresh air before, like, the final plunge.
Yeah.
I feel.
Yeah. But that's cool. I mean, I'm really glad to see more Young Justice, because I think it's such a well-built universe that more in it is not a bad thing at all.
A lot of like DC characters in my head, even the more like well-known ones, like I am sad when it's not the Young Justice version of them. Because
I mean, this could, and I don't know what the future holds for this season, but Justice for Wally West, you know, like maybe get some of, I wouldn't mind another like 5-year time jump to like give some more age between characters.
Yeah.
Well, then you get the baby,
the daycare. Yeah, the daycare heroes.
Yeah.
Daycare Damien.
I want to see, why am I forgetting their names now? Black Lightning's kids.
Oh, yeah.
That's
true.
Yeah. There's more news about the DC streaming service there, is there not?
Yeah, so Doom Patrol Season 2 is going to premiere in DC Universe and HBO Max.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a co-release.
That's weird.
Do you know by any chance when HBO is supposed to release their Max service?
I don't think it has an official date yet.
Pretty sure they were saying 2020.
Yeah.
It's the last I heard.
Something like that, but I don't know if they had released a specific date or anything yet.
Which is, I mean, they probably are testing the waters to see what Disney's, like, viewership or, I forgot the term for, like, the subscription count is, like, through rate. That was Disney calling. They want us to make cease and desist. It's like you're promoting WB. You can't talk about any of our stuff right now.
Yeah, sorry, Kevin Feige. I'll call you back when we're done recording.
We'll talk about Ms. Marvel. so that'll be interesting. Max is going to have to give me some real concrete information before I want to jump on that. Like,
price. I want a price. That's my biggest thing, is everybody's like, oh, it's probably going to cost more. I'm like, how much more? Because if we're talking $25 and Hulu doesn't have anything anymore, maybe.
$25 for me, way too high. You're looking at...
I would be the only...
16. You gotta put it at the $15.99 price point.
I would only have that streaming service. Everything else would go away.
Except for Disney Plus.
Yeah.
I don't really want Disney Plus either.
Whoa. We'll get into that later.
Yeah.
I have to table that. But
with the old school Disney classics being out on there?
Okay. I have the majority of them.
Personally, I love HBO's in-house production series and movies and, like, everything they do. So this is kind of a take-my-money thing. Yeah. Like, even if it is $25 a month, I think that's, like, a pretty good...
See, and for me, this is the easiest one to skip out on.
Yeah, really.
With DC Universe being the content that I want, there's no true Game of Thrones yet. Watchmen could be an X factor for me. I feel like with HBO, it's like I get one series a year that I want to watch.
Oh, there's like his Dark Materials too.
Right, which would be the one for this year.
I find so much, like, they put out a new show and I watch it and it's amazing.
I guess Chernobyl too was also this year, so I shouldn't say that.
And then they have, I don't know if either of you have checked out Los Espookies. Mm-hmm. That would definitely blew up like way bigger than.
Well, and right now people are calling Euphoria the best thing on TV.
So I haven't watched that one yet, but I've also heard it's amazing. So like literally every original show they come out with has like. Critics are like, is this the Academy Award? And then the next one comes out, they're like, no, this one is the Academy Award.
I think for me, definitely Netflix puts out the content that I'm the most excited about for original stuff each year.
So you say that, and I got rid of mine, and I haven't... I don't even think I use my Netflix for, like...
What about Stranger Things?
I watched that. I might be borrowing someone's, but that's the only thing I've watched on Netflix recently.
Yeah,
Netflix
see, Stranger Things, great. Dragon Prince, Hilda, Witcher, Dark Crystal.
Yeah, I just started watching Love, Death, and Robots, too. I know that one's a little...
Yeah, Love, Death, and Robots. That's an amazing Neon show. Genesis Evangelion. Yeah. It's, yeah.
Etc. We can just sit here for hours listing amazing shows.
Right.
I think the other part is I've drifted pretty hard from TV because I think the two shows that I would watch would be Riverdale and The Flash, and that is all I was watching, and that's the only TV I watch. So it's like 2 hours of TV.
Which are both on Netflix.
They're not.
So.
Well, I just watched the new episodes.
Unless they took them off.
No, they're still on there, but they're probably going to come off soon.
Mm, fun fact, new episodes will just premiere on CW's Just Network. You can just watch the most three recent episodes without having to pay for any service.
Oh, really?
Yep.
For on the new CW streaming service?
Yeah, it's a CW app. And that's what I was doing for a while. Just watching them on there. And then one day it wouldn't play. And I was like, I have to know what happened. So I bought it.
Well, back to San Diego Comic-Con. So we went on a weird tangent there. Titans Season 2 has a release date of September 6th. So the first episode will air.
Woo.
So, yeah, I'm super excited about that.
Holy shit, really?
That's really soon.
Yeah. It makes what happened even worse.
Is it going to be right after the end of Young Justice then?
I'm not sure that Young Justice is going to run or going to be over at that point in time. They might have some overlap.
Really?
Especially if they're doing one episode at a time.
What month is it again?
We're about to hit August. It's late July.
Oh, right? Yeah, that's right. I forget how time works sometimes.
I haven't actually looked at the week count because that might actually
take out. In the back of my mind, I'm like, where's winter?
Yeah. No, fuck winter. Sorry.
Yeah. I'm looking at the time stream. Yeah, where am I?
Yeah. So Titans Season 2.
That makes what happens even worse because I thought they were still doing like maybe pre-production stuff. Damn.
Yeah, no, they were close to the end. They must have been in like the last couple of episodes for that event.
Hmm. Interesting.
Or even pickups. Like that could have been reshoots.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes that worse.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, let's move on from that. So Hasbro and Magic the Gathering announced a new set at San Diego Comic-Con, the Throne of Eldraine, which seems to be a themed set around grim fairy tales and fables and much more storybook fantasy, but with a very dark tone. That
Three bears and an axe. What do you think?
Yeah, Goldilocks, three bears and an axe. That's one of the cards. It doesn't have a name, but yeah, there's some new card art and stuff that's out. It looks pretty sweet. So
interesting. So classic Grimm.
Yeah,
Brothers Grimm fairy tales.
Yep.
Like the old, like the real German ones. Where, you know,
you should read them.
Stepmom gets her eyes pecked out, and our sisters get her eyes pecked out.
Yep.
And then her mom gets her butt chopped off.
Well, that's crazy.
She cut off one of their toes, too.
Yeah, that's right. Anyway. Yeah.
I know too much about this.
Yeah, so I don't know. I was pretty excited about that. The preview art's pretty incredible, so art direction looks real good for the set, which is great, because they've gone, I think, too far away from some of the actual fantasy stuff at times.
I mean, I'm glad they're trying something new.
Yeah. Yeah, I like the weird card style, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do like the sci-fi elements, though, of Magic the Gathering, too.
I do, too.
Fantasy is great. I don't know.
It's tribal sets, for me, are really where things, like, shine, you know, when you're dealing with fairies and merfolk and vampires. Like,
yeah,
true.
Vampires.
Yeah.
So I was a big Ixalan fan for that reason. So.
Yeah, fair enough.
Dinosaurs. Alright, so we also have a billion trailers. We're going to cheat right now. We're going to throw a trailer reaction in for something that came in after San Diego Comic Con.
Because
but
it has to be said.
Yeah.
If it's not said, you're a bastard.
Zombieland Double Tap.
That movie was that.
So that was just a really great trailer.
Yep. Ever since they announced the sequel,
I'm actually really surprised it took them as long to give us a trailer as it did. So I'm actually really curious because it's supposed to come out in October.
Oh, is it this year?
Yeah, wow, October 18th.
Wow.
At this point, I just expect everything to be in 2020.
I know, right? Like, we're used to these long-winded gaps in time for, like, when things are
announced. Sony's like, you know what we should just sneak in? We should just sneak in a Zombieland. Hey, can you call Emma Stone and everybody, please?
Yeah, that, like, the opening credits for the trailer where it's just like, here are all of these Academy-recognized actors, but... Yeah, we're just gonna do a ridiculous zombie movie with them.
So. Oh my gosh, the scene with the one shot of them, Emma Stone, and then I forget the other actress's name. Like
Abigail Breslin?
Yeah.
I was like, Abigail
next to each other with the pistol tossing a clip. It's like, this is like all the pulpiest action tropes ever, like in the first 10 seconds of the trailer.
Well, you also have like a giant rap song in the very beginning of it where they're just killing things.
Yeah, and Emma Stone just has like the rocket launcher. Yeah. Like,
she had a grenade launcher, that's what it was.
Machine gun combo.
Looks sweet. Looks like a ton of fun. It looks like it's going to be.
I
want to
know
funny.
Where they found these weapons. I hope that's talked about.
The White House.
You know what?
The security details.
Yeah.
Why not? So
pretty much.
That's a cool one. That's a really cool one. It's a nice surprise trailer, in my opinion. So.
Like I said, it's almost August, and you get the movie in like almost in like a little over 2 months.
Yeah. Okay, next trailer. This is probably this is high on Patrick's list, I'm sure. It's Picard.
Yeah.
I was pretty floored by this. It was a pretty good trailer.
Yeah, I know, right?
I'm not in the milieu of Star Trek to know all the mythology of what I saw, but I enjoyed what I saw.
Yeah, I don't know too much. And Kat's over there sighing because she doesn't like space, except for most of the trailer takes place on Earth and over his vineyard. It's like just his house. Yeah. It's not even like...
It's actually Patrick Stewart. Hearts they're filming from. He's like, hey, I didn't really want to, you know, what did you do with my house? Is that cool with you guys?
I mean, maybe. I can totally see. He seems like the kind of person that would just buy a vineyard in France because he wanted to. But, oh yeah, no, it's, this looks like everything I kind of want from a Star Trek show. It's like the classic, like, we need you for one more job that only you can do because you are the best of the best. And they're like, I'm retired now. I can't do this. You know, how many times have we seen them go to like the cabin in the woods and bring back like the thing, which is always such a great. And then,
Him like gathering his team that he needs to do this thing. So.
Yeah. And it looks like he's kind of going to take the side seat to whoever's the real captain too, because there's a shot of them on the bridge and he's in one of the side seats.
Well, I mean, and it's got to be his number one, right? Should take over the captain's chair.
That would be interesting. But I see oh gosh, where am I forgetting his name now? Riker.
Yeah,
I see him being somewhere else in Starfleet at this point.
True.
But and then we get the reintroduction of Data
and Seven of Nine
too, which means I guess. Yeah.
The connected universe.
Yep, exactly. The Star Trek extended universe.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Also, like, an interesting contrast, Picard, like, feels very young and energetic.
Yeah.
And I still have this image of Charles Xavier in Logan, where he's very, like, old, and he's passing on, so.
That's always been his... Like, he really is getting back into this role, you can tell. I mean, he played it for so long, and he kind of hated it at the beginning, but, like...
It's in his blood.
But, yeah, it's in him now, and you can tell, like, he's always had a little bit of Picard still in him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's coming back to the top. Yeah.
Right.
It's great. Engage. Yeah. That's great. Yeah, I'm very excited about this.
Yeah. That was a surprising trailer. We can move on to Harley, the animated series, which I always fucking forget exists. Like, I keep forgetting that this series is happening.
They don't talk about it, and then it just randomly drops things, because the last one was from New York Comic Con, which was...
A year ago.
Yeah, it was a year ago.
So...
Yeah. So they're just kind of like, oh yeah, by the way, it's still going on, just so you know.
this looks fantastic.
I do miss that they didn't do any Ivy dialogue in there, though.
Was there not?
No.
Okay.
I was hoping that there would be some more.
There's definitely
they're going to hate it, Harles.
There's definitely some Ivy sexual tension.
Oh yeah. I think I think there's going to be a lot of like Ivy Harley love story stuff in this. I thought I read somewhere that the story's like the main through line is Harley separating herself from the Joker, like that becoming her own person.
Yeah, so that would make sense that, you know, she's getting out of an abusive relationship and finding, you know, her true friends.
Like, yeah.
You know.
Like Batman.
Batman.
Yeah, like
Batman.
I have no idea what the series is about. Like, that trailer literally gives nothing away.
No.
Just them running around, showing you random scenes. You know, just like, what the fuck?
It was all about tone and energy and cursing and violence. And it's like, this is not your kid's cartoon.
Oh,
this
God,
is definitely,
no.
like... more Deadpool-y.
Yeah,
know?
there's at least like three scenes where like Harley's just beating the shit out of the Joker.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
my favorite is the bat junk. Dude, she freaking Fortnite danced it too. I'm like, you almost lost me.
Oh, yeah, she does the she flosses.
Yeah,
right?
She does the floss thing. I was like, you.
Why is flossing all over stuff anyway?
Why is Fortnite dancing all over everything? I'm sorry. Moving on.
Anyway.
For the record, those dance moves occurred first, and then Fortnite aped them. So.
Oh, you mean like they did to the dude from Scrubs?
And Wreck-It Ralph, too, apparently.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah, they put that in after the movie.
That's funny.
But yeah, I have no idea what that entire trailer is about. You had a talking plant at one point with its eyes watering, saying something like, you see this shit going on? I was like, are you high?
Yeah, it wasn't Poison Ivy's voice. It was like some like really deep dude's voice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, another trailer then was The Witcher for Netflix. Yeah, we rewatched this just a few minutes ago. And there's an interesting poignancy to the fact that they don't reference the game at all. It's adapted from the novels and it made it as the best-selling book series, and I think it actually said that tag to it,
mm-hmm.
which is really cool.
I don't have time to play games. Yeah.
So
or read, but here we are.
that separation, that this is not meant to be an adaptation of the video game series. The video game series is an adaptation of the books, and this is an adaptation of the books, so they're going to be independent of each other story-wise.
I mean, cool news is they can get all three of them for $24, so I think I know what I'm buying.
Nice. I was really digging this.
Yeah. I've not played the game nor read the books, but it would be interesting to watch this, to read the books and then watch this and play the game and, like, see how they differ from the original storyline.
I have all three of the games. I heard that Wild Hunt, or the third one, was amazing.
I hear 1 and 3. Like, is how
I've heard 1 and 3, too. I haven't heard much about
video
2.
Games work.
The second sequel is never quite...
Yeah, the middle one is, like, always a lull,
and then
they realize that
City,
it was
like,
a lull.
Yes.
Okay, fair enough. There's always exceptions to the rule.
Yeah. But from my understanding, it's I've heard the third one is really, really good. I just haven't played it.
But as far as the trailer goes, I think the performances look really strong. I think it has there's kind of a joke amongst the streaming services is like, what's going to be the next Game of Thrones? And mm-hmm. it always, you know, you use that term, and really they're just talking about what's going to be the next big show that everybody's watching. But this tonally and visually felt like Game of Thrones, but leaning into the magic. And
mm-hmm.
I thought that was cool. I mean, it was really interesting. I showed this trailer to my wife, and she was all like, oh, I'm straight for this. This looks great.
That's why nothing really excited me, because I never enjoyed the tone of Game of Thrones. And I'm also, my concern with that show is there's just going to be unnecessary amounts of sex and nudity, and I'm like, no.
Not for
I don't
Netflix
know for the
show.
Yeah, I don't think for the Netflix
I
show.
Doubt it.
I think it'll be violent.
That's Game of Thrones, or that's HBO's MO is nudity, but Netflix is definitely violence.
Yeah,
I always laugh at the HBO Max thing. I'm like, it sounds like a porno.
Skinamax.
Anyways,
what were your thoughts on the trailer then, Pat?
I thought it looked great. I know both of y'all are like Henry Cavill, you know, fangirls.
Yeah, for sure.
But, you know, I think he looks like really great as an elf. I'm really interested to see like plot wise where this goes. Is it actually reminded me a lot of Dragon Prince watching it, with like the whole idea of humans taking magic from elves and stuff like that. That's what I was getting a lot, like, definitely not tonally, but like story element wise, which, you know, is fine. Like, fantasy is kind of a finite genre.
Right.
The high fantasy is, you know, there's only so much you can have as like explanations for magic,
right.
Which, you know, both of those, Dragon Prince is amazing, so if it's even close to that, yeah. then it's going to be amazing.
I think the shot choices, too, what they showed us in the trailer, like, mm-hmm. lent itself to having a full cinematic style, and I think that was
cool. And it looks like they're going to do a lot of, 300 style,
like shots, big battle like,
especially,
shots.
Especially, with the... Like, yeah, and the battles during the fast and slow cuts, which
Ooh,
is really
I dig
cool.
that, yeah.
Yeah, especially with Henry Cavill, there's a couple shots of him, the way he was, wielding the sword. It was really cool.
Yeah. I want to see him wield some magic, because I know he can cast spells in the game. So.
He did once or twice. He just didn't... They were very quick and sporadic.
There was definitely somebody using a wand and, casting an electrical spell.
He didn't use a wand.
Spell.
I'm pretty sure he actually... He casted, some sort of lightning, and you just saw it for, a
I thought it was the girl.
Maybe it was
that
the girl.
That would be a good end of season reveal, though, with him...
They showed that he had that last scene with, I don't know if he was summoning that spider or if he was, putting on a dark presence to intimidate the spider thing that was coming out of the water.
I don't know anything about the series, but yeah. I think that has something to do with The Witcher itself.
I got it. Okay. He's kind of, powering up, so to speak.
He was DBZing?
Yeah, exactly. He was going Super Saiyan, but instead of his hair turning white, white, which it already is, his eyes turned black instead. Yeah.
That's not horrifying.
He went Super Saiyan Black instead of Super Saiyan God.
He went full Titans Raven on it.
Yeah, that's true. I was really excited about that. Let's stay in the Netflix and fantasy realm and just talk about Dark Crystal Age of Resistance. They did kind of a pseudo making of snippet and then just more footage, and August 30th can't come soon enough. That's pretty much all I can think of when I see these.
I know. It's watching the behind the scenes, I didn't realize that, all the puppets are all puppets, all the time. Yeah. The way they blend the CG into the puppetry is seamless. I can't tell where reality stops and it starts.
I also want to admit how much of an eye I have for that.
The Froud family made me laugh because they're just talking about making this stuff, and they're well, we're too old now, we don't remember how it was done back in the original ones, because Brian Froud is a famous designer who worked for Henson. Designed a lot of the
I was talking to a friend of mine about this trailer, and I was it just looks so much better. I was like, yeah, because back in the 80s the studio was okay, Jim Henson, here's $1,000, make an entire movie, and then now it's Netflix is here's $10,000, make one puppet.
Right.
You know?
Right, that's true.
One puppet. Yeah, so it looks amazing.
Yeah, they are really blurring the line of what is CG and what is not, because...
I wonder if, any of the puppeteers are going to, get low-key famous from this, because, maybe. The puppeteering also is, you're going to have to talk about that, the motions of the
I don't
puppets.
Honestly really see that happening. Not a lot of people... think that with that big thorough line, honestly.
I think it's the same way with motion capture technology. Why is Andy Serkis not won an award at this point in time?
Fair.
But he is, famous for it, so.
Yeah.
The norm population doesn't really think
he's famous, though,
really think that size.
I think I read somewhere too, bless you, that there's going to be a documentary of the making of as part of the series, or at once the series is released, they're also going to do that, which is really cool.
They did that with Stranger Things, I believe, too.
Yeah, so special features that are sort of built into the streaming services, which is nice.
Yeah, nice little behind-the-scenes looks.
Yeah, can't wait for that one. That's probably my most anticipated TV property for the end of the year. Unless they decide that Dragon Prince is going to have another season at the end of the year, but...
We'll see. Yeah. Either way, I'm very excited for this.
And then the last trailer we're really going to talk about is Watchmen, the HBO series with the amazing David Bowie music, and I don't know what
that's
the fuck is going on.
That's why that song was bothering me so much. I was just what is this?
It's bothering you?
Yes.
What are you on the negative side of everything today? What's going
on?
What's Bowie's the best.
Everybody tells me that, and I like two songs that he does.
That's crazy.
I don't know. I love it when they do that tonal opposites. Going on in frame versus what you're
looking
at. It
looks like to me, half of it looks like it's in the 70s, and I'm confused because I thought Watchmen took place in the 80s. Because the way some of the stuff that she wears, I'm like, that Are we in what era? It took place
now.
Yeah, to me it looked like it was like maybe like 2000s or today.
Yeah, like I felt like this was a coming off of the movie, and we were living where the movies that alternate 1980s, that this was the alternate now or alternate modern times where.
Either way, I have no idea what's going on. I'm like, all right, this is.
Yeah, like the results of the act caused the police to be masked so that nobody could specifically go after.
I didn't understand that too, because I was really, because it wasn't the act, it was something else that she said, and I can't remember what it is off the top of my head. But it was, I think it had something to do. It's just kind of, like, to me, it was, like, them saying this is what vigilantism does to everyone, because that was, like, I watched the movie the other day. But, like, the big thing is, you know, they're the people screaming in the streets, you know, cops aren't behind masks, but you are.
Yeah.
And it's, like, well, you know, it's easier to get away with things when you're wearing a mask.
I have a feeling that the Rorschach cult is, like, what I'm going to refer to it as
good one.
The catalyst for the police then doing that, because they would start targeting like whatever they're after. It looks like a just violent cult, and so whatever they're after, like, yeah, they start targeting the police.
I think that's what it was that I was picking up on.
And I think we need to we talk about Watchmen was a deconstruction of the superhero in its comic book form. This looks like a deconstruction of social media, like the what's happening right now, where so much information is out. You know the names of cops that were in are being accused of violent acts and things. So this is like that reflection of modern times, where the violence and the political scope is so tense.
That violence begets violence,
right? And then we're putting things behind masks.
The scary part of that is there had been a couple of times when there was like another police officer in another state with the same name who has also been attacked.
Yeah,
like crazy shit like that.
So I mean, so that's definitely a reflection of our times. To hide the people that are helping now have to hide behind masks so that people cannot go after them. So
yeah,
but and then when you do that, you lose the individuality, and it becomes very
so the thing that
like in and of itself.
On the flip side, if one person then commits an act of violence, then it's hard to tell. Then
and that's, you would assume that was the biggest thing that I understood with that entire trailer, is just them saying, you know, like I think at one point she says, what's the difference between a mass vigilante and a mass cop? And she says, I don't know what. She says, I don't know either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, or because...
How can you tell the difference between a mass vigilante? Yeah, and then I don't know.
Yeah, because the biggest thing that I got from that trailer is once you start hiding behind a mask, you don't... When you're walking around with your face out, and that's kind of how I was when I was watching Watchmen too, when they were saying, you know, cops don't hide their faces, because once you have your face out and everyone can see, if you do a terrible act,
the world knows.
The world knows.
Yeah, like you're physically separating yourself from like the population to like normal people. Like instead of just doing like, you know, a foot patrol and you go say hi to the person on the corner store and like all the stuff and get to know the neighborhood, then you're just this anonymous entity that's going around.
Well, the biggest thing that I've kind of seen with Watchmen, I mean, and it's in society, people who wear masks, you don't usually look too kindly on them. And comic books are one thing, but like in actual society, when you see someone in a mask, it's usually a concern.
Yeah. Unless it's Halloween or Comic-Con.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. So unless it's like, you know, specific events where you're dressing up or something, but if you just see some dude walking around the neighborhood in a mask, you're like,
It's disconcerting. Yeah, it naturally does. Well, that's really interesting. We had so many like theorizing and, you know, just the major thoughts on the themes about a trailer. You know, like
I still have no idea what is actually going to happen.
You're thinking it's the end of it's the
I think it's a part, sequel to the movie.
The very end of the movie, they send out Rorschach sent out his journal.
Yeah.
So I wonder if that's how the cult
if somebody
began.
Gets the journal.
He
sent
it to a newspaper.
And here's the fun thing about this is if it's a sequel to the movie, which would be just absolutely genius. We're reading a sequel to the comic. We're reading Doomsday Clock, which is a sequel to the comic.
That was
kind
of probably why when I was watching this, I wasn't as excited about it, because I'm just like, see, now I just want you to do a Doomsday Clock one. I don't know if I want this. I want a Doomsday Clock, because I want to see the comic book version of the issue with him or with Dr. Manhattan and how he seems time, because that could be awesome.
Well, I think it's really an interesting dichotomy, two things to exist parallel to one another, is like the way that the movie can exist on its own from the comic, to then have this exists separately to Doomsday Clock, and it's like the story genesis can splinter into so many different directions on how you mm-hmm. perceive what actually.
Well, the other part of it is the Doomsday Clock takes place in somewhere DC-ish, and then this takes place in after
still in the Watchmen universe, mm-hmm.
still the Watchmen world, an alternate reality, very similar to the way that like Umbrella Academy just kind of exists in its own time.
So. Mm-hmm.
And the more I think about it, I think you're probably right, because if I'm correct, they show Ozymandias in his office there, and
he's older.
Old. He has like gray hair and wrinkles.
Is that who he was supposed
to
be?
I'm pretty sure that's who. It doesn't say it, so I'm not like 100% on that, but I'm pretty sure.
I think it's actually listed that that's who he was playing, that actor. So
is that okay? I haven't actually like looked at the.
I mean, and they not only reference Dr. Manhattan. I mean, he's all over the story. So
yeah, mm-hmm. and then he's because he's on Mars from most of the trailer. Except at the end tag.
Yeah. Where you see a blue hand, which as long as I'm like, he's wearing a suit. Good.
Yeah. He is in a suit too, which is weird because this is like, you know, decades after his not caring about suits.
Yeah, deal. But it could be during the time where he does not necessarily want to be seen. So if everybody's in that like carnival wearing Dr. Manhattan masks and suits and things, then he could just blend in.
True. So, oh man, yes. I have so many, so much excitement.
Yeah, this one I'm excited for. I just need to get a firm date.
Yeah, people keep saying like, oh, HBO is useless now that Game of Thrones is done. No.
No.
I didn't care about Game of Thrones to begin with, so I was already past that.
Yeah, nice. So Kat, you're over there like, well, what's the new Watchmen gonna be?
Yeah. What are you doing?
All right, well,
just poking them with a stick. What are you doing?
From here on out, we'll be talking about one massive thing, and that is the Marvel announcement for Phase 4, announcements for Phase 4. I don't even know how to approach this. Like, there's so many things that got announced. What
should we try to go chronologically?
I don't.
But should we start with Disney Plus?
Well, Kat, what was the? Let's just do this. What were you most excited about, Kat?
Honestly, when I was looking at a lot of it, because I don't have information of what they're really up to. It sounds really bad, but I don't care because I don't have information. Because the only thing that really caught my attention was the Doctor Strange, and that was really about it. The thing that kind of bothers me is they're now like, well, we're going to do a show and it's going to connect to the movie, and I'm like, you fucking assholes, because there's not 40 movies, now you're going to add TV shows too?
I mean, that's really, it's funny that you have that perspective, because most people were complaining that the stuff that existed on TV weren't connecting.
I didn't care. I was fine with that. I was like, let the movies be the movies, I'm cool with that.
I like it because it's that interconnectivity, and it's, you know, they're building a universe that feels like comics, you know, like you're getting one shots on TV that you're.
Yeah, we'll see. And that's where the salt arises, because we all know how much I enjoy Marvel's. Like, well, if you want to know this, you also got to read this and this one over here. And I'm like, you motherfuckers.
I don't think it's a, I mean, aside from WandaVision, I don't think that you like have to watch it. You know, it's just like the more you read, the more
she's
going to
be
into
a
the universe
huge,
you get it.
She sounds like she's going to be a huge, and I actually really like the actress who plays
Elizabeth Olsen.
Yes, I really, really love her. That plays Scarlet Witch. But for the Doctor Strange one, I like the idea of him traveling, not necessarily universes, but like multiverses. So
yeah.
No. That was really the only one that kind of caught my attention.
Since we're getting into that one, which was my favorite of the announcements, and the name of the movie, Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness.
Oh, Multiverse of Madness.
Yes.
Nice.
Well, considering the first movie...
I was trying to say it together.
I saw it in 3D, it was going to make me throw up, and that just took place on Earth. What the hell is this going to be?
Fuck it. I'm so excited about this. And they're calling it a horror film. They're calling it Marvel's first horror movie.
Really?
Yep. So they're gonna do, and it says Scott Derrickson is back, and he was the, you know, he did horror films prior to doing Doctor Strange. So
interesting. Did he direct the first one? What did he do before that? Like
The Exorcism of Emily Rose.
Oh,
one of
really?
Those. Yeah.
Okay. Wow. So that's like
terrifying horror there. Let me look up his IMDb.
All right. Well, I would like to watch a Marvel film and not have a nightmare, but you know, here we are.
But it's probably going to be a PG-13. So.
Yeah, I mean, but they could do some seriously messed up things in PG-13, too.
Well, and I think it's going to be psychological horror, because dealing with like, the visual aspects of things.
And I even have a hard time with that.
I mean, Paranormal Activity was PG-13, and that really messed me up.
Yeah.
They messed up a lot of people, so you're not alone.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that was really the only one that kind of stuck out to me, because there's not a lot of information on everything. The What If sounds interesting, but I don't really know where they're going with that.
I was not... Like, I had What If was not on my radar at all until I saw that Jeffrey Wright was announced as Uatu the Watcher, because, like, goddamn, his voice is just luscious. Like, oh, man. And so it's funny because, since Stan Lee is the Watcher, too, this is going to be, like, Jeffrey Wright playing Stan Lee play the Watcher.
It's kind of crazy.
So that's kind of the hard thing that I had with a lot of this Marvel stuff. And, I mean, I hit a point where I get... the other half of me is like, I don't really care about Marvel. DC, what are you doing over there? Hey, can you talk to me? That was kind of the other part of it.
And for me, it's like, it's hard to care about what DC is doing because they are not doing anything.
Yeah, because they hardly announced anything.
Yeah, I know. It's driving me insane.
Oh, man. I have, like, such a tie for the announcements for this thing. Like...
Before we get too far, I just wanted to go over some other stuff that directed. Sinister.
Oh.
Oh, God. I heard that one's horrifying.
The Day the Earth Stood Still.
Like the new one?
Yeah.
That was a really good movie.
Yeah, it's an underrated film, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And, ooh, whoops, I just lost my thing. And Deliver Us from Evil.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Those are all very solid movies.
Oh, good.
Movies.
So this movie's going to fuck with me.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. He's like, oh my gosh. With all those movies, I'm surprised he did Doctor Strange, which is like such a light movie compared to all those. Like,
yeah, compared to them, yes. It's like it might be one of the heavier of the Marvel films.
Oh, for sure. But like,
he's only killed like who knows how many times.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's, that's solid. Yeah. I'm very excited for that now.
Well, what were your other things that you were, like, tied on excitement level for?
Well, like, I've been excited for, the Thor panel ever since I heard that there was going to be a fourth one with Taika attached.
Well, that was, like, a week ago that they said anything that Taika was going to be skipping on Akira or Akira was going to go...
Yes.
Out of production.
But it was a few days before the real announcement of Natalie Portman coming back and reprising her role as Jane Foster. And then the picture of them handing her the hammer on the stage, too. I was, like, getting goosebumps.
I was floored by this. Like, it was almost too much for me to actually process that she was coming back. Because in Endgame, she didn't even come back to record her scenes.
Nope.
So, like, they utilized the footage from Thor Dark World in order to do that. And so I for sure thought she was just done.
Yeah, I did, too. Everything was pointing to her not being in it anymore. Like... you know, she is a very, like, serious actress, so I can see her not wanting to do Marvel movies because, you know, of the stigma attached to them. But, like, I don't know, there's certain comic book runs, I'm sure you guys have things where you're like, well, I don't know why they don't make this into the movie, like, this should be the movie, and this, like, reading the Mighty Thor, I was like, this needs to be the Thor movie.
Right.
And finally they gave it to me. Kevin Feige, we were on the phone all last week.
I honestly think there's two reasons that she's doing this movie. Like, if I were just to postulate, it's number one is Taika Waititi. I mean, that makes a lot of sense. And playing the cancer patient.
Yes.
That would be, like, because she can sink her teeth into that aspect of the role. She may not even be playing Thor, if you think about it. Like, mm-hmm. It may be a stunt double or, like, some partially CG'd version of her playing the actual... Mighty Thor.
If I don't get a 6 foot tall blonde chick, I'm not showing up.
There has to be. Yeah, there has to be. A certain point. But I do think Natalie Portman is going to play Jane Foster.
Yes.
Like, and I think, because, like, so everybody.
Why would
they
hand her the hammer then? That's kind of.
Because she picks up the hammer and becomes Thor.
She's still going to be playing the character. I mean, the way technology is at this point in time, like, CGing her into a larger version of herself is probably possible.
Yeah, but I mean
like, we did the reverse with Chris Evans in the first Captain America.
I mean, I'd be a little sad about it if they did that, to be honest.
You could easily get a stunt double for her to play play Thor, though, because, like, I mean, in the comics, you don't see her face, too. Her helmet goes down to her nose.
Honestly, I say if they did two And I have nothing against Natalie Portman. I actually really like Natalie Portman. Usually whatever movie she's in, I usually go see. I've watched her rap like so many times because I love her so much. Exactly. But like, I'm honestly wondering if they're going to cast Thor as somebody else.
We may be thinking in the complete wrong direction. They may just bulk her up and then do what they did with Chris.
I also am CG an
emaciated version of her.
And that was kind of what I was thinking about too. Is like, I wonder if they're going to do the opposite, but I don't know because she's never been one who really seems to want to play a superhero. As weird as that sound, and I could also be wrong about that too.
Yeah. No, I
she's also older. That. I mean, like, there's a few years have passed, and you know, time cures all wounds, right? Like, that's the saying goes.
I don't know. I liked the second Thor movie, so...
I like two over one. I've said this publicly, so...
I do, too.
Fair enough.
So that's kind of my thing, is I'm really curious if they're going to come out and say, well, actually, here's who's going to play Thor, and it's some, like, 6'5" beef chick.
Yeah. I think that announcement may not, they might not be able to do that for yet.
There's a couple actresses that I actually think could, like, do a really good job as their body double.
Yeah. Either that or... they just don't say anything and do that.
We are actually running tight on time, and we have to talk about the Eternals cast
That was another one that...
This is nuts. I'm just going to run through the names. We got Angelina Jolie, Richard Madden, Camille Mangiani, Salma Hayek, Brian Tyree Henry, and then we have Dong Suk Ma, I am so sorry, Leah McHugh, and Lauren Ridloff, who is actually going to be the first deaf Marvel character.
Interesting.
She's a deaf actress, and yeah.
Is she gonna? Her character in the movie is gonna be deaf.
That's the way that they said that they're working that.
Interesting. That's gonna be really interesting.
That cast is nuts. Like, this is absolutely insane,
dude. When was the last time Angelina Jolie was in something?
Maleficent. Don't take that from me.
But what else before, like, other than that?
But she was so prolific for, like, the 90s into the 2000s.
Yeah.
And then, like, Maleficent. And then now.
I think,
like,
her biggest thing is I think she's been focusing on her kids and stuff.
I know she's been doing a lot of more directorial stuff, too.
Yeah. Too.
So. But, like... You figure when Salma Hayek is announced for this that they got her in lieu of Angelina Jolie. It's like, no. They got both of these actresses on this project.
Yeah. And then Kumail Nanjiani, too. Like, what?
And apparently he's been, like, hiding under, like, hoodies and, like, heavier shirts and things.
Oh, really?
So because he's super jacked. Yeah.
Oh, man. That's hilarious.
Well, he's buddies with Batista now because of their movie, so I'm assuming there was definitely workout tips in terms of how to get himself huge to be superhero ready. And then Richard Madden, freaking one of the great actors from Game of Thrones, who... Mm-hmm. It wasn't in many of the seasons, but he is an indelible piece of the puzzle of the story. So.
And Brian Henry making his second Marvel movie appearance.
Oh, yeah, because
He was Miles'
dad.
Yeah. Why am I forgetting his name?
Robert. Jefferson.
Jefferson.
Yep.
Yeah, Morales. But, and I love him as an actor, too. But, yeah, just crazy. Just what is this movie going to be?
Ancient aliens for the Marvel Universe.
Apparently.
So hopefully we put more of the Kirby stuff in into print again so we can read some of this before it comes out.
Another crazy casting, at least for me in my opinion, was the new Blade movie that's announced.
Mahershala Ali just went into the offices and said, "Let's do Blade," and they said, "All right."
Yeah, apparently,
also ties to Into the Spider-Verse, Mr. Aaron Davis,
because he's Uncle Aaron, and also ties back to the Marvel Netflix stuff because he's Cottonmouth in season one.
Sure, you're right.
He kind of kills.
He did not last long. Who was the actress that was his sister?
Oh my goodness, I forget her name, but she does an amazing job in that show, in killing him.
Yeah, I know, that was kind of my thing, is like, you were killed by another amazing actress. I think you're doing pretty solid, bro. Yeah.
Also, the Shang-Chi announcement featuring Simu Liu as Shang-Chi, and he, like, jokingly had sent a tweet in October to Marvel saying, "When are you going to cast me as Shang-Chi?" And they did. So I think that's pretty great.
Honestly, he's pretty comical. I think the other tweet he saw is like, you know, I used to just sit around in my sweatpants in my house and eat pizza. I still do that, but now I'm a superhero.
He's great. If you've never seen Kim's Convenience on Netflix, watch that show. It's hysterical.
That's funny. I hope they go, like Chinese mythology.
They're doing big stuff. Apparently, at the panel, because it's called the Legend of the Ten Rings, mm-hmm. which is referencing Mandarin, who is the primary villain, and apparently seeded throughout all of the Marvel films, they have, like, characters with tattoos of the Ten Rings, and they mention the organization mm-hmm. in the beginning of the first Iron Man film. That's who, like, captures him in the desert. So this could be, like, laying the groundwork.
That Ten Rings thing, not a few months ago, that was mentioned about the Ten Rings thing, saying that they're going to bring back the actual Mandarin.
Yeah, so it's going to be in the Shang-Chi story. So this is cool. So then we're going to have elements of magic in here as well. So.
Yeah, and then the other big movie for Marvel, I guess, is no brainer, but Black Widow.
Oh yeah,
that's David Harbour just kind of right over that.
Yeah,
I think it's because it's coming out soon. It's the one that we knew was filming.
Isn't
so it's
the
like,
first one?
Yeah, it's the first of the films. It's February next year.
Yeah,
I believe.
So. Interesting.
Was it February?
And then, of course, all the Disney Plus shows.
Yeah,
which are going to
Loki, which has the worst logo ever made.
Yeah,
Loki,
the worst
logo.
I can agree with that one. I was looking
Falcon,
at Falcon,
Winter Soldier.
Yeah, I was kind of sad that it's not Captain America or Winter Soldier.
Yeah, but the shield is what's in there, and then Baron Zemo with the mask on.
Mm-hmm. Oh my god, so silly.
So awesome.
Yeah, and then WandaVision, like we were talking about before. What If as well, mm-hmm. which is going to be the first animated.
I just gave two thumbs up to this invisible camera.
That's probably the best choice you can make with that, because mm-hmm. you can make them, at least, like, you can do, like, the Flash story, What If?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you can actually have Peter Parker look like Tom Holland.
Yeah. Well, and then you can also do the, you can record all your cast in a day. you don't have to have them, like, committed to long periods of time.
Yeah,
they can also do it across the country, too. Yeah. So.
Exactly. You can get, like, Chris Evans wherever he is to do mm-hmm. a quick, you know, old Steve Rogers voice or blah, blah,
right.
blah.
Right. Well, and we know that one of the first episodes is What If Peggy got the Super Soldier.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
Interesting.
That actually sounds interesting.
Although she's beautiful, so I would have loved to see her on screen. So, but that's pretty much got to be it. Unfortunately, we've run out of time.
Yeah, well, lots of things to be excited about.
Yeah.
That's why I kind of hate San Diego Comic Con, because then I just wish it was 6 months from now already.
I know, 2 years, let's give us 2020 now.
See, and that's probably why I think anymore when they're like making all these announcements, I'm like, can you talk to me when I get more information or there's a trailer? Yeah. I would be okay with that. Thank you.
I just like hold up one picture and everybody in the audience is like,
yeah.
And then like they pull it down and they put up another one that says 2020.
Yeah. Well, cool.
Oh my goodness. All right. Well, with that, I guess we should probably say bye then, huh?
All right.
Well, bye.
Bye.